Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you found us online. The message for today was recorded on July 17th, 2016, and the speaker is Pastor David Jacobson.
There's a long sermon title in the bulletin this morning, but maybe for the sake of brevity, I'd like to just shorten that this morning. Engaged and appropriately overwhelmed. Engaged and appropriately overwhelmed. We're continuing our series this morning on how we can be people pointing the way to the kingdom of God, and showing what it looks like when God is in charge of our hearts and our lives. And last week was technically the first sermon in the series of four, and we were challenged by the parable of the Good Samaritan to be neighbors. Neighbors begins with an N, and near is our mnemonic that we're using to work our way through this series. So as neighbors, we're to be people who see the face of Jesus in everyone we encounter. In the usual way of reading the story of the Good Samaritan, it seems like Jesus is essentially saying, don't just sit there, do something. And now this week, at first glance, it seems like he's saying the exact opposite. Don't just do something, sit here. So what's going on? We're told that while the disciples were on their journey, Jesus came into a village. And we're not told exactly how he came to Martha's house, but Jesus likely did what he had done, what he had instructed previously the 70 and then the 12 to do. He would go into a house and he would offer the peace of God. And then he'd proclaim the good news of the nearness of the kingdom of God. And so Martha, it would seem, responds faithfully and welcomes Jesus into her household. Now, Martha might not be the one who ends up winning out in this story, but I think we need to give some credit where credit is due. Martha welcomed Jesus, and Mary's sister Martha sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching. I can't pass by that fact without mentioning how noteworthy this is. And it doesn't make us particularly happy, but in the ancient world, women did not sit at the feet of a teacher. This was the posture of a disciple learning from a rabbi, and it was a privilege reserved for men. But Mary assumes the posture of a disciple. And far from being rebuked, she ends up getting affirmed. Jesus does not reject anyone who wants to be a disciple. Nevertheless, Martha is busy making preparations for the meal, and she's not just distracted, as some translations say. She's worried. She's preoccupied. I think it's fair to say that she is completely overwhelmed. And Martha basically snaps at Jesus. Master, don't you even care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get out of the room for men. And give me a hand. Now, don't get me wrong, Jesus. It's great that you're, you know, subverting the gender roles that would normally keep us women from being your disciples. But couldn't you do that after Mary has helped me fix the dinner? We might interpret Jesus' response to Martha in a lot of ways. But he basically says, look, Martha, you only need one thing for the meal. And Mary's looking at him. Why don't you sit here and join the feast? Martha was overwhelmed, but Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Can you relate to Martha? Have you ever been overwhelmed? That's a silly way to ask the question, isn't it? Maybe a better way to ask it is this. From how many directions are you overwhelmed right now? I mean, we can all handle a few little waves in our life. As long as they come one at a time, as long as the water stays outside the boat. But sometimes the waves crash over the sides of our boat and the chaos of the water steeps into us. And when that happens, we can't help but be affected. But being overwhelmed isn't always a bad thing. We can be overwhelmed with joy as a child is born. As a child, I remember being overwhelmed with an anticipation for Christmas morning. I hope you've been overwhelmed with the beauty of a sunset or overwhelmed with love for someone. But frequently, we're overwhelmed by things that should not overwhelm us. Martha was overwhelmed because she couldn't do the work all by herself. She was overwhelmed because she felt like her sister had deserted her. She was overwhelmed because it seemed like Jesus didn't care, thing after thing. And being overwhelmed by all these things caused her to miss out on the main course, the one who said, "You should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." We do get overwhelmed, don't we? And sometimes, like Martha, we take our work for Jesus' sake. We take on work for Jesus' sake, but we end up getting burned out. And when we finally notice that there are these waves that are crashing over the sides of our, you know, neatly kept boat, there always seems to be multiple waves coming from multiple directions at the same time. It seems like everything is going wrong. I mean, think of, in case anyone's having trouble calling these things to mind, think of all the things that overwhelm us. There's credit card debt and past due bills. There's a bad situation at work or no work at all. There's health problems. There's the pain and discomfort that comes with them. There's addictions to alcohol, to drugs, to pornography, to gambling. School problems, relationship problems, sleep problems, house problems, car problems, air conditioning problems. There are so many things that overwhelm us. So many things that preoccupy us. Our minds and our bodies and our emotions can all get overwhelmed. And if it only stopped at our personal problems, there's the problems in our church and in this nation. There's natural disasters. There's war, there's terrorism, there's other threats of violence. And then there are the people. There's parents, kids, friends, politicians, teachers, that newbie pastor of yours. Thanks for the polite chuckle. That's what pastor counts on. We get it, Martha. We're overwhelmed. But Mary was being overwhelmed too. Mary seemed to understand that there was only one thing worth being overwhelmed by, and that's being a disciple of Jesus. Being engaged as a disciple of Jesus isn't something that you slap on top of the already busy lifestyle. It's the foundation on which your life is built. It is your life. Because when you experience God's grace in your life, it's like a tsunami that comes and it crashes on you and it overwhelms your old self and it reforms your broken human nature into someone who is able to love and to serve God. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite authors, and he says it like this. Imagine yourself living as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roofs and so on. And you knew that those jobs needed doing, and you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts incredibly and doesn't seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting up an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace, and he intends to come and live in it himself. This is what it looks like to be overwhelmed by Jesus. And getting overwhelmed by Jesus starts by sitting at his feet. It starts by actually being his disciple. And when Jesus speaks, you pay attention. And when Jesus walks, you go with him. Martha was so overwhelmed with the need to attend to her acts of service that she missed out on an opportunity to attend to the presence of God in her own house. Martha's problem wasn't that she was working. There's always a time for works of service to be done. And that's called walking with Jesus. But first, we must sit at Jesus' feet. Jesus has to teach us God's vision for us and for the world in order for us to continue to serve and love others. Doing the work but lacking the vision is a recipe for a Martha-like burnout. If you do not sit at Jesus' feet, you will get overwhelmed by the work. And instead of getting overwhelmed by God's goodness. And you'll end up pulling the Martha. You'll blame Jesus for it. How many people end up blaming Jesus because they've had bad encounters with the church? They've taken part in the time and energy consuming ministries of the church, but they've missed God's vision of the kingdom that is coming on earth as it is in heaven. They didn't take time to sit at Jesus' feet. And how many people will sit at Jesus' feet, but how many people will sit at the feet of the talking heads of cable news or the commentators on BuzzFeed? How many people do I know that will sit at the feet of comedians like John Oliver or John Stewart, or spend 15 minutes or more sitting at the feet of their Facebook profiles? But they don't have 15 minutes to sit at the feet of Jesus. How many Christians are there who are overwhelmed by the cares of the world because they're not overwhelmed by Jesus? And how many Christians lack a biblical worldview because they haven't sat at the feet of Jesus? I'm not talking about idealism here. Jesus doesn't have any patience for idealism. This has practical consequences for the way that we live out our life. Many Christians, for example, believe that God is going to throw the whole earth away and snatch Christians away to heaven. And when you believe that, it makes no sense to care for the earth. It makes no sense to do anything but proselytize as many people as possible so that they don't have to end up on the burning trash heap that the rest of creation is going to. But that vision, as it turns out, comes more from the famous Left Behind series of poorly informed fiction than it does from sitting at the feet of Jesus. And here's a problem for many of us. In this age of social media, the teachings of Jesus don't fit in a 140-character tweet or some witty Facebook image. Not because they're unintelligible, but because they're big, important concepts like God, neighbor, sin, the kingdom, salvation, new birth, the image of God. Let's do this. New creation. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure these things out and live them, but it does take repetition and time. It means taking on the rhythm of discipleship. We sit at Jesus' feet, and then we walk with Jesus. We sit, and then we walk. We learn, and then we journey. We listen, and then we travel. We sit, and then we walk. It's a rhythm. And as we do that, Jesus' teaching mixes in with Jesus' action to help us understand what God is up to in the world. And those abstract concepts become for us concrete realities. So let's get practical. Jesus is always practical. How do you sit at the feet of Jesus? It's really quite simple. You take time to listen to his word in scripture. Here's what I was taught and what I do and what I commend to you to adopt in your lives. When you get up in the morning, go right to sitting at the feet of Jesus. You ask Jesus to speak to you. And then you read about 10 verses of scripture. Then you sit and you listen to what you hear Jesus saying. If you're like me, it's a little bit easier to listen to Jesus with a cup of coffee in your hand. But you read, and then you listen, and then you read it again, and you listen again, but you're not done. Then you take out a pen and a notebook, or maybe if you're like me, use your computer. And you write what you hear Jesus saying. Sometimes it's just a summary of the passage. Other times it's an acknowledgement that God is going to make a new wing in your living building. And once you've done this, take about 15 minutes if you've done it or given it the attention that it deserves. You are much better prepared to start your day. A mentor of mine, I'll have you know, calls this your reading and writing. We'll talk next week about prayer, which is when you talk to God, but sitting at Jesus' feet, that's when we listen. And when you do that every day for a year, then let me know if you're still pulling a Martha, you know, blaming Jesus for being overwhelmed. Because once you sat at the feet of Jesus, you're ready to walk with Jesus during the day. You sat, and so you can walk. God gives the Israelites manna in the wilderness, but they only had what they needed for one day. They couldn't store it up because it went rotten the next day. Every day they had to come, and they had to gather the bread that came down from heaven. And we have to do the same with the word of Jesus, who incidentally called himself the bread who came down from heaven. We have to take time to sit at the feet of Jesus every day, or else we will find ourselves spiritually empty, overwhelmed by many things. Overwhelming forces will come, won't they? People will not cease to die or betray us or disappoint us. Disasters and tragedies will continue to come. But if you've been first overwhelmed by Jesus, there's no room for you to be overwhelmed by anything else. Jesus is your all in all. And like a great hurricane, we can't escape the overwhelming forces that will come our way, but we can and we must find shelter in the storm, within the storm. There are philosophies and clubs and meditation techniques that help people deal with life. So what do we have that others don't have? In short, we have Jesus. The church has the answer to the overwhelmings, the many overwhelmings of the world. The word of God is our answer. The word of God who became flesh in Jesus. God who didn't come and snatch us out of the world, but who came to live with us in the world in order to redeem the world and bring the fullness of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And so we sit at the feet of Jesus and pray that Jesus overwhelms even us. And when Jesus fills us, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, our lives take on a completely new shape. And it's a shape that can cope with anything. And then we worship. A theologian named David Ford says that worship is a habit that copes with being overwhelmed by God. You ever been overwhelmed by God? We come to recognize that the Christian story is not a story about us. The focus is not on us. It's a story about God's action in Jesus. It's a story that God is writing us into. Choose to sit at Jesus' feet. You will be choosing the best part.